Now, after all this is said and done, we also have the variable of cheaters on all levels. We have the variable of cheaters of leadership, where we're not even concerned about people's needs. We're concerned about people fulfilling our needs. In other words, sometimes we can be involved in being in charge of a department or whatever, but we're seeing people as agents to use to do what we want. Or, as we were saying, we find ways how to use people to make things happen rather than making things happen on the benefit of the people, that then allows everybody to give more and to do more because people are satisfied. We're not talking about pure love. We're talking about just basic relationship and basic selfishness. We have to be able to honor and capitalize off selfishness. People are basically selfish unless they're pure, and if they what they want, what they feel is necessary, is not somehow coming, and they're not educated to understand more about what they really need, then they will not stay, or if they're around, they will not plug in, they will not give in. If we honor the basic selfish tendency and realize, okay, that's a reality and that's there, and if we can see how to get people to be more clear about what they need, and we can see how to help them to even create what is needed for them and for others, then we have a situation that has more tendency to be able to grow and to unfold. If I'm not feeling, or you're not feeling, valued, if you're not feeling that whatever the vision is sufficiently is going to include what you need for the present and the future, then even though you may have good intention and really trying to be as present and serve as best as you can, the service will not be of such good quality because you won't be giving your full. But if you are feeling that whatever the vision is definitely something you're ready to sacrifice for and it's going to include you, you're going to benefit from it, then you're able to give more and also be able to receive more from the community. It's a living organism that has to be fed. Just like we feed our bodies and we feed our own individual devotional creepers, the community beater has to be fed. Constant assessment of what are our genuine needs and what are our genuine duties and obligations. We look at particularly the things that weakens the devotional creeper, there are things that weakens the community bija. We look at areas that produces success, capital, land, resource, labor, good management. When some of those are not being honored, problems, when all of them, big problems, we look at what will guarantee success, healthy, good adjustment, taking proper care of the body, healthy socialization, proper stimulation of the mind while studying the Shastra. And last, we look at the honesty of our responsibilities, our obligations, along with our particular needs. I'm going to do one of the categories. Can you just turn this page over? Is another page? Or?
No.
Oh, this is a whiteboard. Okay.
Erase something.
Okay. Maybe just erase the most important thing, the failures. Let's erase those. Let's forget about failure for now. We're just thinking about only success. All right? Let's erase that whole side. From 1 to 11.
All right.
Anyway, we all know these kind of failures, and we could put a whole list of just many, many more. And we know that if we counteract those, there'll be a certain amount of success as we're able to minimize and stop whatever that failure is. What I want to look at now, let's call it the three C's. Three, like ABC, three C's.
Let me put it on there.
Yes. Okay. One, we're just breaking down now the whole organism of community. What keeps it alive? What stimulates it? This is in formulas. You can put many specifics, with these formulas. First is healthy communication. So when communication is healthy, if some of my needs are not being met, I can bring it up. I can discuss it. I can try to share with others what we can do. some of our individual and collective needs are not being met, then we can have some arena where we can check in with open and honest a discussion. Or we can open and honest present and then be informed and educated that it's not really a real genuine need, as we have chance to talk about and to evaluate with our own being as well as within an association. Two, cooperation. And also healthy cooperation, same thing. That as we are addressing our individual needs, we are a family, extended family, so to speak. And we are to try to focus on synergy and symbiosis. Is that we are trying to see how we can put less energy into something because more of us come together and we get more results from what we do together than what if we did on our own. We are to be able to get more benefits by being able to create a symbiosis. So synergy, when people come together, that they all benefit and they're able to produce more than what they could if they just individually did their own thing. Symbiosis is that people's needs are less as they come together and share. It's like two people living, in a flat. So now, by them sharing the rent of the flat, they are benefiting because both are spending less money. And now they're benefiting because they are arranging the schedule, who cleans, who washes the dishes, washes the clothes. So now, by coming together, both of them are benefiting with having more things happening for them, and in some cases putting less energy into whatever is going on. That happens with cooperation. It happens when there is teamwork, when people can somehow be able to bring their differences together, and from those differences they come out with something better than what they individually were thinking about. They're able to stimulate each other, think in terms of thought as well as in terms of action. So healthy communication, where we are constantly revisiting our needs, where we can express our needs, and also where others can help to remind us about our obligations. That means that people are ready to somehow to try to be accountable. And there's healthy communication. Cooperation, healthy association, healthy planning, working together with intent of not trying to do something on your own, realizing that we need each other. And by the fact that we need each other means that we have to be able to do things that allows us to have relationships that have longevity. When you're kind of considering, well, I don't really like this person anyway, or they don't really mean anything in my life, they have no impact, or I can just cheat them or do whatever and I'm going to leave and go to another temple anyway. We're not really ready to honor long-term relationships, then our whole mood of how we associate is totally different. This is why sometimes when I do these community discussions and in some of the books I've written, I ask the devotees to consider that the people they're living with may very well be the people who they leave their bodies with. That in many cases people will be in association until time of death, or as they're leaving the body, they're going to be in touch with some of the people who have been a part of their extended family or part of their community. And so we're in this, you know, for the long haul. Three, healthy communion, which is just another way of saying good sadhu sangha.
Communion?
Yes, communion. That means that we are more alert about honoring samskaras. Why? Because samskaras draw the individual's attention to what he or her, him or her, what their obligations and responsibilities are. And it also draws the community's attention to being able to be more concerned about what they're supposed to give or be for that person. So you have samskara, either first day going to school, first grain ceremony, first haircutting, marriage, etc. That it's a way that the community says, aha, such and such Das has had a child who's now 5 years old. And that child that we all have honored when they came into the world from the naming ceremony now is ready to start school. It's a way of honoring that child's acceleration, rites of passage to begin school, and it's a way of community being aware, hey, where is the school? Huh? Where's the money? Where's this or that? It's going to be needed for what's happening. Or marriage is there. So the way of also honoring that person, those are people who come together to form a unit in their service. It's a way of sending your love and blessings and prayers and for their well-being and this rough journey that they're about to embark upon. And at the same time, it's a way to remind them that they are needed and appreciated by those who they are living with, who they are associating with. They have obligations as a husband and wife to each other. They have obligations and duties to community with what they have that they are now ready to offer and to share with community. And therefore reminds them, you're getting married not to escape the world or to escape the community, but you're getting married to be able to be more present in your service and your obligations. You're getting married to have someone who is acting as a partner that now you can team up with healthy communication, healthy cooperation, as that now becomes your connection for immediate communion or immediate association to be about adding something to the environment. Healthy communication, if we don't have that, we have all that list of failure. Because even when failure is going on, if we are open for healthy communication, some people will begin to speak up. And they'll say, hey, Baba, this ain't working. And because there's an atmosphere of healthy communication, then the person who's trying to coordinate that says, I think you're right. Or let's talk about this. Or let's look at what isn't working. Or let's consider now that maybe we got to do something totally different. We don't have healthy communication, and we have just the autocrat, or we have lack of honoring proper labor, proper man, proper resources, then when there's the need for communication, one thinks, but I may be penalized. I may be, excommunicated. I may be ostracized. Then that person who could have offered something in the warning to help others to reflect loses that chance, goes away disgruntled, and whatever that problem is, if it's genuine, it becomes more amplified. Without cooperation, then even when the problem is identified, then people just complain. From other places, people complain, this is not right, that's not right, but they don't jump in to see how to cooperate to make a difference. We're all familiar with that one, right? We say, oh, this is wrong, that's wrong. But sometimes we don't then look to see what now kind of cooperation, healthy cooperation is needed to be able to honor this person's needs, this part of community acceleration, etc. Now, we don't have proper socialization, number two. So now let's cooperate and see what we can do to have healthy, clean socialization. We don't have proper care of addressing, you know, the needs on the bodily platform. And then instead of just holding it in, being discouraged, or leaving, then one will say, oh, well, let's see who I can cooperate with, or how we can cooperate to be able to make a difference. All of these things gets minimized or will not be fully activated if the individual does not feel sufficiently valued. If the individual doesn't feel that they're sufficiently a part of whatever the vision is, and in many cases helping to create it, then they will not give their whole or not give much. It's a known human relationship factor. People give much more of themselves when they are on board and helping to create the vision. Even if you, one who's in management, know exactly what's best, if somehow they don't bring people on board in the initial phases, people won't enthusiastically and so consistently get that much involved because they still feel like I'm working for your idea, your project, your concern, not that it is our particular project. And therefore, when there is a failure, when people see it as theirs, then they're more eager to jump and try to see what they can do to save or to protect what is theirs. But when they feel that they're getting as much by themselves as they would by being in community, when there's a failure, then people jump ship. They detach themselves even more. Because they start feeling, already I'm not having my needs being met, and now these other problems are creating more difficulties. I'm just going to check out. I'm going to distance myself even more. But if their needs are being met and something is being challenged, then they come up forth more to see how to bring about a solution, because their own needs are going to be limited or going to be interfered with if they don't do something to help to see that the success or the stability is maintained. We're selfish entities until we're pure. And so somehow, something about our existence is not being cared for, presented, then we will consciously as well as unconsciously play less into being able to support whatever is going on. Healthy communion or healthy or sadhu sangha is that we're warriors. We're at, and I'm going to end with this point and open up for more discussion, because I don't really want to give a lecture, you know. We all know so many of these things. We're just trying to bring it so as to look at it a little clearer and to help each of us to make our own decisions. Because at the end of the day, every one of us individually is judged by Yamaraj or by agents of Krishna to go back to the spiritual world. At the end of the day, we've all come together really for working on ourselves, but we are in association to help ourselves, that we cannot hide behind institutions, we cannot hide behind resources, have or lack, we can't hide behind land, capital, management. Those are genuine things, but still, we all have choices and decisions that we are to make. If one thing I hope comes out of this little presentation here, is not even any of this, is that each of you consider, what do you want to see happen to you and to your community in the next 5 or 10 years? And what do you feel you can do or you're ready to do to see that come about? To what degree will you try to create an environment that you can be happier in your life as you live the last back parts of our years? So many of us are already 3/4 dead. Many of us are already 40s, 50s. We lead a normal lifespan. We're already 3/4, in some cases, a little more than that dead. So now what do we do based on our genuine needs as well as our genuine obligations, regardless to whatever else may be going on with other people who may or not be authentic or who may or not be honest about their needs or honest about their obligations? To what degree do we do what's necessary for our genuine needs to be able to go back to Krishna in this lifetime, for once and for all, get away from all of these pains that we experience and difficulties on by being in the material plane? So this healthy sadhu sangha will allow us to go on as warriors, because each of us are dealing with our own tremendous battlefields of Kurukshetra. And as warriors, we get wounded, we get confused, we get hurt, we get disappointed, we get cheated, and we cheat. And all this goes on, and Haribo, this is the material world. Now, as warriors, when we're wounded, we need also some facilitation, help to patch us up so we can go on and keep on fighting. As warriors, we need alliances. We need to be able to feel that what we have, making our sacrifice and being challenged and being attacked, that is worth it. Otherwise, we have more and more people that as they have to deal with their own struggles, they start copping out. And they move to the sidelines, and they retire, and they basically gradually have good intentions, and then suddenly just gets weaker and weaker and weaker. So this is a, you know, slight presentation. If I have more time, maybe I can do it later while I'm here. I would have liked to have touched upon trust and forgiveness.
You can continue tomorrow if you're
involved with your class. Okay. Maybe I can do that tomorrow. I'd like us to just discuss a little bit here. But tomorrow, then we'll take trust.
Tomorrow evening also at the
Okay. All right then. Because so much of our ability to commit and to maintain a community has a lot to do with trust. What happened, that trust, we're going to look at in many different perspectives in terms of trusting ourselves and trusting others. What breaks down trust, what builds up trust, and even more so is forgiveness. We have some people now who are very, very poor tzaddikas, if at all, practically, because they just don't know how to forgive. There's some people who are not offering anything near what they could offer. In some cases, they're not offering anything, you see, directly to the community, because they are just torturing themselves from genuine things that have happened, but they just don't know how to release it out of their consciousness. So I'm gonna, you know, maybe I'll spend some time with, you see, those two things tomorrow. But let's just file that away. What we discussed today, we mentioned, I'll summarize in 2 minutes, we mentioned about that it's not only us as Vaishnavas or Hare Krishnas, is that there were and are other alternative groups who came together, made sacrifices, had vision, was trying to do something better for the world, and most of these groups have fallen apart, don't even exist now. There's some that are existing, but they're existing, you know, in stagnation. Some that have prospered. We're saying that those who really have prospered, they have been able to be loyal to the original vision while constantly being able to accommodate change, addressing the ongoing needs of their people. And because of that, they're able to maintain some unity without forced conformity, without being in denial, without also changing the basic face of what they were trying to present. We looked at a list of, we just put 11, and we could have put, you know, almost 11,000, of different kind of things that causes failure. Just look at some specific things. But all these things also go in, you know, in different categories. That the community is like a bija, and there's certain reasons why somebody falls down. It's not a mystery. We should not let that elude us. That why this person falls down, why this person has become unenthusiastic. That the acharyas have let us understand that there are various things that utsaha, that brings enthusiasm, that brings placidity, and things that bring vinashati, things that brings success, and things that also brings failure. So we can, you know, revisit that in our own time, look a little closer at the nectar of instruction, at the things that will enhance relationships, will water the creeper, will protect it, and those areas that will not. Just like for a person who engages in a lot of, you know, pujapa, or over-endeavoring individually, someone who's in community or community begins to over-endeavor in certain areas, it begins to lose its particular vision. Somebody was a strong householder in the past. Now they have to endeavor so much for finance to the point that their sadhana has been sacrificed. Then you put 100 people like that or 50 people like that in the community. Now the whole mind is just money, 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 Lakshmi, Lakshmi, Lakshmi. And you find that the community bija gets choked. When you have an individual who begins to minimize following rules and regulations, or takes them for granted, like with Wiggins the devotional creeper, that when you have many people who do that, then we have a subculture. Many of our communities now, it's a subculture where things that normally we would accept as being against Dharma, we're beginning to honor such things, and sometimes even reward, you know, such activities. And this is what you see is happening in mature culture. That not only are materialists being more and more sinful, but they are intimidating others who are trying not to be sinful. They intimidate people to make them feel that there's something wrong with them. When we begin to minimize or take for granted, or when we are over-absorbed in just the externals, individually, then we also have a problem. And we do that in community. If we get so much into the absorption of just the rules, you know, you take for instance, let's take a classical case. We know it is good and best for us to come from Mangalwarti because we have a chance to chant more quality rounds. We start, you know, our particular day off. But at the same time, that's a principle and is one that we should try to honor. But it doesn't mean if somebody doesn't do that, then they're lost. It means, maybe they're not doing it because they stand up too late at night or whatever. It's a whole lifestyle spinning around why they can't do that. But there are times when a person has a legitimate need, they need to take better care of their physical body, they have a general need, they need a little more sleep, a general need, that they were up all night with their little child who's like, you know, 8 months old. And if that is not honored, then the person minimizes taking proper care of their children to come to show their face in Mangalwarti because it's all about just the rule of law. So when the rule of law is there just for the individual as well as for the community, same things cause the community to fall apart. Now the person is to honor, yes, how to see how to organize their life. But that individual has to be honest enough and mature enough within him, his own conscience to realize that I should try to be there for Mangalwarti. I have a need to have that association. But I have a genuine need that I have to give more attention to my child at this time in her life or in his life. And therefore, it is essential that I have good sadhu sangha. And so, my genuine, honest situation is that I am able to genuinely go to Mangalwarti 2 times a week, get the association, and at the same time be able to take good care of my little baby, of my child, etc., etc. And now one is honest and being able to operate on that. And able even to communicate that because of the healthy environment. Or able to share it so that it's also understood. When the environment is not healthy, and there's lack of trust and other things, or there's a condescending mode, or there's too much unhealthy autocracy, then there's a problem. Anyway, these things seem overwhelming, and they are. And we're all struggling with it. And formulas could work. There'll be no problems at all. Like I said at the beginning, class is over in 5 minutes. If it was really that simple. But it is that simple. But it's that difficult. It is that simple that if we have physical needs, socialization needs, stimulation of mind, and shastra met, we'll be more Krishna conscious. It is a fact we'll be more spiritually, materially healthy if we have capital, land, resources, labor management, music good management, etc. That these are genuine things. And it's not only this conceptualization or whatever. It does create a better individual and a better environment when we can communicate without intimidation, when we can find ways to cooperate, when there is achievement as well as when there's a problem. Because really, it is adversity that defines a healthy community. How a community responds in adversity really helps us to understand how authentic and genuine and how wholesome community is. Because we can hide behind a lot of things when everything is going well. But it's really when there are difficulties or problems that really defines how much real healthy community has been established. Because even when there's adversity, even when there's all kinds of challenges, calamities, shortages, somehow people are still there communicating the issue, trying to see how to cooperate, having communion or associations as they are together ready to see how to work on the problem. Because it becomes their, everybody's problem. Because it's genuine community. And you have more chance to, you know, to bring about a solution. Other than a few people jumping ship and trying to not go on for themselves in a particular way. So this is a little offering we're helping us to hopefully reflect on. But the essence of that is that we each have to consider that we have to take more responsibility for our own lives. Materially, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. While we try to be the servant of the servant. Because none of us can be genuine servant of the servant. We can't heal the world if we're too wounded ourselves. We can't have a healthy community if we are so much dysfunctional within our own existence. And so it's our duty to build up and take better care of ourselves so we can give a better of ourselves to the environment. And so we shouldn't feel selfish about trying to take better care of our genuine needs, not our wants. But by taking, I'm going to open up a can of worms all over the place. It's not a matter of being selfish and being honest about your genuine spiritual needs to be able to be more spiritual, to be a better servant in the process. Otherwise, we have constant people who will come, be trained up in different things, and they will leave or they will move to the sidelines. And no institution or corporation or community can progress when we spend so much time in recruiting, so much time in training, just to have the majority of the people to go. You know, something happens when people leave. It takes about 6 times as much resources to recruit a new person in general as to maintain one. And when somebody leaves a situation, they become your worst public relations. Because now they go out not only not helping, but they go out speaking bad and sometimes of all kind of anxieties. And we see those who are attacking us the most now in our society all around the world are people who have been a part of us and for some great reasons have become disgruntled. And they're the ones in the lawsuits. They're the ones, the Ritviks. They're the ones going to other mosques. They're the ones who sometimes do other things to try to sabotage. People who were a part of us, who somehow either perceived the real, didn't feel that their needs were being met, became angry and feeling that they were putting in and not getting proper reciprocation, and then they go ballistic. And said, all again, comes down to needs. Let's open up for whatever comments or questions that you might have. But most important is leave this little discussion, initial one, with the reflection that we do have responsibility as with families. We have responsibility to take more of our own children's care in our own hands. A responsibility to take better care of our own wife or husband. A responsibility to put a little more attention to our project that we're trying to do. But we should do it in the spirit that I want to do this nicely as an offering to the society. I want to get this so I can be a better servant of the servant. Not that I want to take care of mine so that I can make sure that I'm comfortable and I am in my comfort zone, but how I can have certain things so that I can be able to do better. We had a devotee who was with Joy in L.A. who passed, some years ago. He was in the endowment. And the doctors told him, you could have had 10 to 12 years more on your life if you just had taken better care of your body. And in particular, he was telling me, if you just had got sufficient proper sleep. That there are things that are bodily genuine needs that are to be addressed. And it's not always the same every single person. But these persons should be ready to be honest enough to look at what do we need to put in place so that we can be more wholesome, so we can give more in honoring our own obligations and duties, so that it creates this massive cooperation of different devotees being more spontaneous and joyful and animated as they try to carry out their obligations to a community that they're proud about, or community that they feel is theirs, and they want to see it grow. And they're not going to just watch and wait and complain, but they're going to see whatever little they can do to definitely make a distinct difference. And it's those little things that each of us do that makes up an aggregate, environment of success. And even when there's failure, we learn and we bounce back with resilience because we really played into the fact that we can communicate openly, we can cooperate, and we can solve this. We can bring about less distraction and disturbance, or we can enjoy struggling together in a way of realizing, of having realizations from that. But then sometimes when the material situation can't be just solved overnight, and won't be. But still, as we honest Bhakti Vinod says, proper stimulation of the mind and study of the Shastra, then we have the weaponry to continue in spite of whatever temporarily is going on. I mean, there's certain communities now that just based on karmic fallout based on the basic institutional things will take a while before it becomes stronger. But then what things do we do to guarantee that it does become stronger when things are more in place? But if we just wait for it to happen by osmosis, then, you know, then it won't. Because Krishna will not also respond. Krishna responds to our desires. So there are times when we don't have enough material resources or situations to make it happen, but because the devotion is so strong, then Krishna intervenes and puts things in place so that the necessary things for the needs of devotees, you know, are actually taken care of. So at the end of the day, we are a movement based on the Krishna miracle and desiring it and expecting it. But those miracles also happen as we honor what has been given to us, you know, by the acharyas, so that the miracle can come through. As we do what's given to us by the acharyas, then we create great success, and then the spiritual blessings amplifies that success. Is there a question? Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Comment or a question? Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the other ingredients in other successful communities is that they actually address the issue and work on continuously how we're going to make our community stronger. And they worked on that, and it's a continuous process for them. So when you have a continuous process, then it's always reinventing itself.
And that was the point when I was making, that a community has to be constantly nourished. That we can't think that something worked in the past or something was established and we can sort of, you know, become comfortable. It has to be constantly recreated, so to speak.
So for us, it's never even been in our Christian movement, it's never even been a topic of conversation or even acknowledged. Whenever we speak of community and community building, you kind of walk with a blank stare and, you know, it's something that they don't do or whatever. So I'm just wondering. Well, actually, it's a major breakthrough as far as I'm concerned that this is the main topic of conversation right here in this group right now, because it's something that I've never dealt with. So,
well, you know, it's dealt with in different ways, but I think sometimes we don't go deep enough sometimes, because as managers, we have to deal with crisis every day, and we have to deal with immediate productivity, and that's, you know, wonderful, but that's also unfortunate. And so there are times when we don't have extended enough vision to realize that even in areas we have to make some immediate sacrifice, if we have sufficient vision, it's going to turn into some wonderful results in the future. And there are other times that we can have the vision, but we don't have the people who may jump on or understand the vision. And there's also a problem. But, you know, these kind of things are being discussed. You know, you've all been confronted with Rana Maharaj's example in Bombay. Capital is there, which is number one. I would say that the spirituality as well as the capital are as important. One is as important as the other. Because without capital, you would definitely not have the level of success that you have in such a project. Because needs are being looked at. And there's certain kind of needs that people have who are brought up in Vedic culture or have exposure to it, or Indian bodies in that part of the world. And some of those are similar needs in the West and some of those are not. But the fact is that distinct needs are being addressed. So it's become one of the most successful communities in the whole of ISKCON. But if we can put one sentence, success is because needs are being met. Financial, spiritual, social, resource, these needs are being met. And therefore it brings more people buy into it, more people stay and support it. And so it's also selfish in a sense, but it's transcendental, I mean spiritual. And so all of our communities, to the degree that we evaluate what is the field of activities, because the environments are so different, and that we know. We know Rana Maharaj, myself, and Ramalati, we're talking these things constantly, but it's a different field in America. And we see it's more complex. And here in New Vrindavan, you have all the complexities of every difficulty ISKCON's experience. You have it in the environment. You know? And that's powerful, but that's also awesome. You know? And so somebody can say, oh, but why don't you just, you know, just organize this way, that way? But they don't realize all the other issues that people are dealing with due to their wounds, due to lack of trust, lack of forgiving, due to children's problems, due to relationship problems, due to financial problems. We have all of those in one particular project, more than almost any other project in the world. And so if such a project is able to just grow and grow more and more, it will have its amazing impact on so much of the world. The project in Bombay has had a major impact, but at the end of the day, the average leader says yes, but there's mostly responsible families, there's finance, there's facility, facilitate all of these different things, and the leader says, but I get, you know, 10 devotees, and we barely get the deity service going on, and we get these debts, and nobody has any finance, most of the devotees are packing on the poverty level, and we got so many different issues. You got so many devotees who had, you know, two gurus have fallen down, you got all these issues, you know, you got many things, you realize, oh, all of that then affects the immediate environment, it affects the faithful devotees, it also brings certain karmic, you know, patterns that have to be cut through or moved through. But still, each situation is to be looked at based on some general things, but based on what the individual and aggregate of devotees need to have in place for them to healthily go on from a baby to elder to death. When from conception to transition, when the needs are met, then not only will people really give and want to stay, but people will want to join and be really a part of it more and more. So thank you all. I'm really trying to learn as I discuss these things, because, you know, many of these things I know and I write about and speak about, but every time I also speak about it, it allows me to reflect on it in a certain way and allows me also to try to dive deeper into this, you know, very sensitive and very necessary topic to see what individual and collective role that can be played to try to help create an environment that we're all more happy with and excited with, and that has more of an effect in the protecting, you know, our devotees, you know, especially our second generation. The more that we're able to do certain things that shows a greater sign of the vision is working, then we'll have so many of the younger devotees who now are watching or moving to the sidelines. They'll feel so excited. They'll bring something very fresh and very wonderful. Many of us at a time when we should be kind of retiring. You know, we're 50 years old, 40 years old, whatever. Our children should be taking the ball and running on second generation. But how can they run with the ball if the ball is not there for them, right? Or if they're not so sure that's even a ball, that'd be a problem. So, it's God found the child that's in the robot key.